谢谢。
I just, you all know my girlfriend, my best friend, my lover, and my wife, and my sister.
Okay, hello everybody. It's great to be here in front of you. And I just want to share just a few thoughts before Kerry comes and shares with you. I've been thinking about in Genesis and how that awful tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and you know how much different it would have been if we had just been able to trust the Father to teach us what is good and what is not good. But you know, of course, we took it into our own hands, and just look over the years, you just watch and see how man has made, you know, different levels of goodness and what is good and what is bad, and we've come to a stage now where I feel like it's really accelerated to the point where what is truly good is now called evil, and what is truly evil is now called good. And but in the midst of that, as Jesus says, "Peace I give to you, my peace I give to you." You know, in the darkness and the confusion that's all around us, and in Isaiah it says, talking about the Father, he says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose my heart has stayed on him, because he trusts in him," you know. And so it's this, we carry such a wonderful thing of peace, and it's us. And you know, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. And I feel that God says, "You are peace carriers," and we are to take the peace that we have into our workplaces, into our communities, into our families, and give the peace that we've been given. Because there's a lot of troubled people out there, a lot of hurt people, a lot of hopeless people. And so God says, "Be my peace carriers." You know, as we speak peace into those troubled places, then we'll see deliverances and healings and salvations, and bring life to. So in the midst of the darkness, we can bring that peace. And yeah, so God bless you. And I will pass this on to my better half and be blessed.
Wow. I was just looking around to see if I could rearrange, but I won't. Us short fellas kind of feel the need to kind of be able to see everybody. It's sort of... Yeah, the same old man. We're not in a hurry, are we? You know, sometimes we kind of look at our watches too much, and other times Jesus says, "Come aside and rest a while. Come aside and rest a while." Oh, so touched this morning. Lovely. Big boys don't cry. Big boys need to cry. And when Jesus touches you, it's pretty hard not to cry. And when we live in a world that's so full of turmoil, like Ange was saying, there's just evil good and good evil. And this, I guess in my 44 years of following Jesus, when I first started, we sort of, back then, that generation ago, I guess we talked about end days and what it would be like, and there were different guys that would prophesy, guys like David Wilkerson, and other folks talked about a deluge of filth that would fall out of the heavens, and slime that would come into every home, and all this sorts of stuff. And we'd go, "Wow, I wonder what that's going to be like." And all these kind of things then we were looking at the last days, and now a generation later, and we're seeing such an onslaught of wickedness and evil, but with that a massive hopelessness that's falling over the lands and into people's hearts. And it's really sad, really sad. Just reading yesterday, all of these messed up young kids that don't know if they're a boy or a girl, and these idiot teachers that tell them that they can choose themselves. Nearly 60% of these young kids, you know, self-harming. Well, there's a hopelessness and a confusion in the world. And Jesus tells us he is the answer. Hallelujah. Jesus is the answer. So I want to thank you guys for the privilege and the honor of sharing this morning. You guys that never take it lightly, and sort of It's always an honor to have an audience, a captive audience. The doors are locked. John is at the door. No one is allowed out. All right. It's all happening. But it's a privilege, and it always weighs heavy on my heart. I don't treat it lightly. It's such an honor and a privilege to have opportunity to share and the word of God and that which you sense you carry in your heart to other people. And it's even more of a joy to see people drink it in and actually have lives changed and things happen and changed because God flows through us as ministers of the word of God. And the Bible says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the good news. So if you want to see some beautiful feet, come around and see me later on. And you can look at your own feet, because that's what we're all called to do as well, to preach good news. You know, we have a special, special privilege, a special call. I think sometimes as Christians, if you follow the Lord for a little while, we get to be a bit blasé with the actual treasure that we really have residing in our heart. A little blasé and just a little bit ho-hum with the greatness and the holiness and the power and the majesty that resides within us. And so today I don't have an ABC kind of thing I want to share. I've got a whole lot of different things that are bubbling in my heart. So encourage the first song that Chris brought. I don't know if it's a new song or not, but it's a song singing about hope. I want to talk about hope a little bit this morning. It's a word that I heard Kim preach about 57 years ago. Quite a while ago. If you don't know Kim, he's the old fella sitting over there by that young woman, Susie. He's got his gold card now, so he thinks he's pretty cool. He walks around. You are paying him. I hope you realize that every week he gets his $370, whatever it is. Yeah, rubbing his hands. But it's I can remember what Kim said. Just one word stuck from that from many moons ago, that the hope that the world has is a little bit different to the hope that we have as Christians. And I was just thinking about it, you know, that every day, probably 100 times a day, you and I use the word hope. Oh, hope that church, the guy doesn't preach for too long. You know, I hope he doesn't sit by. I hope she doesn't sit by. I hope this. I hope it doesn't rain. I hope this. I hope that. You think about it. How many times a day we build our words and our life and our thinking around the word hope? It's all the time. You know, it's just I hope this. I hope that. All our life, hundreds of times a day. Oh, I hope it doesn't rain. I hope I can get home in time to get the washing. And I hope I can last the service without going to the toilet. I hope 100 different things. So when Kim, when you get up, we all know where you're going. I can give him stick. Don't worry. He gives me a hard time. Bless the Lord. God is good. Eh? Jesus, we so love you and we're so grateful and thankful for family and friends. We thank you for the new ones that you brought into our midst this morning. And Father, those that are looking for a home and looking for relationships, Lord, I pray that they'll find it in this place and this people. We thank you for your word that strengthens life. Thank you for your joy, Lord. Thank you for your strength that you blow within us. Lord, give us wisdom and understanding and life today, I pray, in your precious name. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Okay. Can we turn in our Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15? Now, Scotty, if that NIV version goes up, you're dead, you're fired. New King James, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19. Is it a crazy verse? Is it up there? Let me read it to you. If you got your Bibles, actually, I meant to bring $10 along and I was going to give it to everybody that actually had a Bible. Who's got their Bible? I mean, written Bible. One, two, no, written Bible. Three. See what it cost me? $50. Cheap, $60. Sometimes, you know, we get a bit embarrassed about carrying this book around. Never be embarrassed with the Word of God. It's the power of God to change lives, to change this nation. You know, the Western nations that so much in the target and the sights of this new woke kind of generation that's happening all around us, that targeting everything Western. Western nations were basically founded on the Word of God. Understand that. It's the word of God that made the nations great. Nations that embraced the word of God were built up and turned into great places that cared for people. But as soon as they left the word of God, we look around and see what's happening now in different nations that were formerly great nations because they've turned their back on the word of God. I cry in my heart, I cry for America, I cry for the United States of America because they've rejected God. They've tossed out prayer, they've tossed out the Bible, they've tossed out different things and they've brought in all this other stuff. And you look back and you see the mess that's happening in the world and you go, oh, Jesus. The United States have become the divided states. We need the word of God. And 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 15, verse 19 says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most miserable or pitiable. If we only, in this life only, if we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. What does that mean? It means to me is that the hope that God gives us is something much more than just hoping for a nice day, hoping for a good this or a good that. It's something strong, it's an anchor to our soul, and it connects us to not just this world that we live in, but it connects us to the world that is to come. It puts something within us that knows that no matter what happens to me today or tomorrow, there's something good waiting for me. Because Jesus has touched my life, he's changed it, he's come and he lives in my heart right now and he's preparing me not just for 70 years, which is rapidly drawing nigh in my case, but for eternity with him. And leaving this world is going through a doorway that opens up a whole world that English words or whatever words are not enough to describe. Words cannot describe it. The hope, if we only have hope in this world. Guys, I think we really need to re-kind of jiggle and get something into our heart, a burning understanding of the hope that Jesus Christ has for us. Because if you are a Christian here today, then you are different to people in the world. If you are a Christian in the world here today, then your hope is not dependent on whether or who sits by you or whatever good things that happen to you. It's not dependent on that. Your hope is locked into something much, much higher, much, much greater. That's why the Bible says, lift up your eyes to the hills from whence comes your help. That's when we say lift up your eyes to Jesus, we're lifting up to something, connecting to something that brings hope into our heart. We need hope. We need hope. We need a holy hope. We need a hope that knows who Jesus is. We need a hope that's not just, oh, I hope. It's something that keeps us strong. I want to share something with you a little bit later on about how powerful that hope is when we see it in our lives. But the whole Christian walk, really, the whole revelation of God to us, it's not complicated. Sometimes we take Christianity and we make it really, really complicated. Oh, you've got to do this and you've got to do that and all this sorts of stuff. All these sort of things have to happen. Christianity is basically condensed to some things that are very, very simple. And if we get the ABCs right, then it just locks into place. And I want to just share a couple of things. What actually got me thinking about hope was I was thinking about the revelations in the Word of God, the revelations of heaven, where at different times, like heaven was sort of opened up and different folks saw heaven or heard heaven and what it was like. And if I can just share with you just a couple of scriptures. The first one is in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6, you all know this one. Isaiah is in the, he gets caught up into the throne room of God. Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. He saw the Lord above it with his angels. This is really crazy, verse 2. Above it stood the seraphim, the angels. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, with two he flew. You imagine that? He's got his eyes closed, his feet covered, and he's flying. My head's not big enough to get around that. But amazing, he's looking at the throne room of God, that's the glory where there's no sun because God is the light in there, you know, just full of just the presence of God. And he heard them saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The sound that would come out was, holy, 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 holy. This, just wherever God is, there's always this sense of holiness. And when they opened up and the heaven to Isaiah and he saw it, the words he heard were, holy, holy, holy. It's the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Everything Jesus touches is touched with his glory. Do you know that when Jesus puts his finger onto your heart and touches your heart, he leaves his mark of glory on you. You cannot be touched with the love of God and not have his glory within you. Hallelujah. It's like a magnet that attracts. Touch whatever Jesus touches. Whatever he touches, his glory remains. And the story carries on. The first thing Isaiah does, what does he do? Now, this is a guy, Isaiah. He's the prophet of the hour. He's the man of God. He's like the holiest, the most powerful dude in Israel. Everybody's kind of scared of this guy, even kings. It's like he has this connection with God. He has this anointing with God. He has this amazing miracles and power and authority. He's kind of like God's man of the hour. And the first thing that happens to this amazing dude, as soon as he sees Jesus, who's sitting on the throne, he falls down, says, woe is me, I'm undone, a man of unclean lips, I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, because my eyes have seen Jesus, my eyes have seen Jesus. Friends, Christianity is all about Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus. The fullness of God came into the Son of Man. The fullness of God, the Bible says, the Godhead dwelt within him bodily. Everything that created everything put into the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, when you see me, you have seen the Father. What is God like? That's why we read the Bible, because we read about Jesus and we see what God is like. Hallelujah. God looks like Jesus. Jesus looks like God. I shall be satisfied when I awake in his likeness. It's our hope. That's why he puts a seed within us. It's a seed of Christ that comes into our heart. That's why he feeds us with his word and the water of the Holy Spirit, because he's growing something within us. He's growing Jesus. Hallelujah. And each one of us, we have a different expression of that personality and nature of God, and put us all together, woof, and it becomes special. That's why if you're here for the first time today, you're a new guy, and you sense there's something in this place, I want to tell you, it's the love of God. It's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God, the love of God. It's a magnet that's drawn you in here. Hallelujah, because he loves you. You can never outrun it. You can never outrun it. You can run from here and the magnet will draw another Christian into your life. And magnet after magnet after magnet till you bow the knee. Hallelujah. When Jesus touches your life, it's all over. Hallelujah. I can feel God's love for you guys this morning. Revelation chapter 4. Let's just throw another scripture. This is another peek into the throne room of heaven. Revelation chapter 4. Sorry, lots of verses. I love the Bible. I could just throw you verse after verse, but you might get bored. But I'll try and just keep it whittled down to the bare minimum. Chapter 4, verse 6. Before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and back. Get your mind around that one. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like a calf. The third like a face like a man. The fourth was like a flying creature. Verse 8, they were full of eyes around within. They do not rest night or day, 24 hours a day, 24/7, 52 weeks of the year, continually, eternally. They do not rest. And they sing the song, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Who was and is to come. Who are they singing about? It's Jesus. Singing about Jesus. Hallelujah. Simple. Lord, what's our verse? I've got verse 12 written down here for some reason, but there's no verse 12 in chapter 4, so I really am up the volley on that one, aren't I? Doesn't matter. You do that sometimes, Scotty? So we see the revelation of the throne. Very, very simple. It's Jesus, you are holy. I am not. The early church, when the early church was born, it was birthed in absolute simplicity. The Bible says had all things in common. No man said anything was his own. They looked after one another like family would look after one another. They fellowshipped together. They broke bread. It means they had meals together. They fellowshipped together. They shared together. They prayed together. They looked after one another. And the Bible says, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Why? There's a simplicity of life. I'm just leading into this because I was thinking about hope. I thought, well, this led me into thinking about hope. Let's go into the scripture that talks about hope. Where's the hope verse? Somebody tell me, please. No, another one. It says, there is faith, hope, and love. Where's that one? Yeah, that's right. Faith, hope, and love. 1 Corinthians 13:13. God even makes it easier for us to remember. Huh? 13:13. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Talks about the love chapter. We all know that, chapter 13 is about love. But then right at the very end, verse 12, we see now in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. What do we see dimly in the mirror? We see the Jesus forming within us. We see that character, the nature, the person of Christ forming within each one of us. Dimly, but it's getting brighter and brighter. Now I know in part, then I shall know just as also I am known. But now abide faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Now abide. See, Paul takes the simplicity, the three kind of irreducible minimum that we need, faith, hope, and love, and says, now abide in these. And it's almost like as human beings, we need a minimum of air, which is like the love of God. We need a minimum of food and water, and we need warmth. If we have these three things, we can tick away quite nicely for as long as we need to, really. I worked in the hospital for many years, intensive care, and often we'd have patients on a ventilator that were just gone. We're just keeping them alive. We pump air into them. Pump a bit of food into them, keep them warm, keep them going for years and years and years. That's all you need to survive. And that God has given us an irreducible minimum to survive as Christians. It's faith, hope, and love. These strings, but the greatest of these is love. So you see now, it's almost like love is like the air that we breathe. If you stop, you know, breathing, pretty soon you're gone. You can last a little bit longer without food and water, and you can last a little while being cold or too hot. But we really need air. That's why the Bible says the greatest of these is love. Love is like that, the air we breathe. Love is the oil that keeps it all moving. Love is that which lets others know that we have the love of God within us. Love is the life of God. The life of God. If you have God living in your heart, then that will express itself not in knowledge, not in pride, not in power necessarily, not in all these, but it will express itself as love. And people will be drawn to that love. Drawn because it's a magnet. Love's a magnet. So it holds it all together. Now, faith's pretty cool. Faith, because that's the life now that carries us through day to day. That takes us through the valleys and the mountains, and we just know that everything's under control. Faith, F-A-I-T-H, remember, for all I trust him. That's what faith is. It's trusting God, just trusting God. I don't know what's happening. I don't like what's happening, but I know I'm going to come through. I'm just going to keep going. Beth was talking before, stand. Stand in the Bible actually means keep walking forwards. So keep going, just keep going, keep going, keep going. Keep going. He's never going to let us suffer things that we cannot handle. But in every difficulty, every tribulation that comes, he's always going to provide a way, a doorway. There's a doorway somewhere for you to walk through. You're not going to perish. He promises to never leave us nor forsake us. He keeps us. We are his responsibility. The moment you give your life to Jesus Christ, you now become his responsibility to feed, to clothe, to care for, to protect. You're his. Puts his name on your forehead. Property of God. Hallelujah. God is good. So faith carries us through these things. Love, it's a sign of his life. But hope is that which goes beyond this world that we see. Hope is not just weak and no power. Hope is that which connects us. The Bible actually says hope is like an anchor to our soul. Anchored to hope, knowing that God's going to do something wonderful. It's the hope, it keeps our eyes on the prize, which is Jesus. Hope is something that's visible in our lives. Hope is something that's powerful and brings witness into other people's hearts and minds. I want to share a story with you. Many of you know that Angie and I, we have two daughters. Both our daughters have a condition that's called myotonic dystrophy. Some of you will know, some of you won't know. It's quite rare. But it affects different, it affects every muscle in the body, basically, and a whole lot of other bodily systems as well. But our younger daughter, Jessica, she has, you know, it affects her speech. She can't, and grip and walk, lots of other things, as well as all the internal stuff. But it means that she doesn't have a very good lung function. That means when she breathes in each time, because when you take a breath, basically you're using a whole lot of muscles here and muscles that you can't see, and that sucks the air. And so for her age and sex and all that sort of stuff, she's actually only breathes 30% each time she takes a breath of what she actually should do, what's normal. So 30% lung function. So that means that when everything's fine, it's all good. But if it's wintertime and a cold comes, then it's hard for her to cough, because to cough, you're also using all these muscles to expel the bad stuff and get rid of it. So she's quite weak there. So a few years ago, Jess, in the middle of winter, she come down and she started turning a sort of a mauvey colour, cyanotic. So it's like when your body hasn't got enough oxygen in it, it changes colour a little bit. And so she got quite sick, called the ambulance. She ended up in hospital. She had an infection in both her lungs, and she wasn't breathing very well anyway. We sat with her for at least 12 hours straight, just trying to keep a mask on her face, like a pressure mask, to keep the oxygen was coming in under pressure to kind of give her enough. But she started because when you get a little bit messed up, the inside, your little bits and pieces, they get out of balance, and it can start to affect how you think and perceive. And so she started to show signs that she was losing it. So the doctor said, look, we're just going to have to put her on a ventilator, basically. And so they whacked a tube down her. And then so she actually had a tube in her throat for 5 weeks. She was in the critical care for a week. But the doctors, they come to us and they said, look, we don't think she's going to make it. She hasn't got she's not going to make it, basically. So Angie and I, you know, that's sort of not something that every, bear with me. You don't want to hear that about your kid. But you know that and every nighttime experience when you're walking with Jesus, there's always a song and there's always hope. And so Angie and I would come home, and we didn't feel full of faith. We didn't walk around speaking in tongues, rebuking this demon, rebuking that demon, and this and that. We just simply fall on our knees and take a hold of Jesus. And we'd say, Jesus, we trust you. We trust you. If she lives, we trust you. If she dies, we trust you. I knew she was okay. My Jessie, sometimes her walk was sort of up and down, you know, with Jesus, but she was in a good place with Jesus. And I knew if she passed from this life, she was going to go straight in to the glory and the presence and be with God in such an amazing place, in such an amazing state, that would just be absolutely wonderful. Wonderful for her. So at that time, this last weekend, Angela and I went up to Auckland. We caught up with a lot of folk that are part of our Hebron work up there, and were a part. And one of them was a girl from China, a smart lady, mathematics teacher up there. And a lot of the Chinese folk, we've got some Chinese girls here today, Ing and Mandy. Wave your hand. These girls are from Auckland. I just picked them up off the plane this morning. They were looking lost. So I said, do you want a place to stay? They said, yes. So that Ing has been done a lot of translation work for me in Auckland, so it's great to have her here. But so we went to see this girl, and we're just talking with her because she's in the Lord now, and she was talking about things, and she said, "Do you know when I believed in Jesus?" I said, "No." She said, "It was when you and Angela came home from the hospital, and when you were telling us all, because we had a family night." When you were telling us all what was happening to Jesus, and when you said that if she lives, we thank you, Jesus. If she dies, we thank you, Jesus. She said, I saw something then. I saw a hope that made me believe. That's when she believed in Jesus. when she saw the hope. That it wasn't something that we had formed or fashioned. It wasn't something that you go to the shop and buy, or you go and read a book and read 6 steps to have hope in your life. Something that comes from loving Jesus and knowing the love of Jesus in your heart. That's when she believed. Folks, it's the hope we carry. Faith, hope, and love. The world needs hope. The world needs to hear people of hope. The world needs to be... If you find that if you're speaking good things, if you're carrying hope, if you're aware of the hope that God has for us, a hope of being with Him forever, the hope of being like Him, the hope of seeing Him face to face. You see, now we talk about Him. We come together and we can feel His presence. We can feel His love in one another, and it's good and it's wonderful, but it's easy to forget that, you know. You go back home and have a, whatever, the wife burns the lunch and you growl at her or whatever you do. I don't know. Or the husband burns the lunch and the wife growls at him. I don't know what it is. But it's so easy to lose these things. But that's why we need to carry an awareness with God with us at all times. Be aware. Be aware that we are temples of the Holy Spirit. Be aware that we are carrying something in our heart. It's the Spirit of God that keeps us, and it motivates us. It gives us love, and it's God, it's Jesus Himself within us. And as we have that awareness, then that song is in our heart and that hope is connected, and it takes us through these things. Well, that one, I just want to go back, if we can, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're just over the page if you've got your Bibles here. That's where we started. We started in verse 19. If we only have, I'm finishing at 5 minutes, aren't I? Theoretically. Thanks, Beth. That's license to go for another half. No. I really want to, I'm not sure what's going to happen. We haven't sort of planned this. We haven't sat down and talked. Chris didn't know, and I didn't know that's going to put the hope song up and all this sort of stuff. And there was different words that have come through that basically saying, look, you know, that this is important. But I think we need to make some room this morning, and we want to pray for some folk. Perhaps you're here this morning, and you've maybe one of your first times in church. I don't know. It just turned up. There's a lot of faces. I don't know. But I would really love to introduce you to Jesus, because He is the source of hope. And then there's maybe some others of you that have, you just been, it's been a long, hard slog, and you've lost it. And we just want to just kind of speak enthusiasm and speak courage and speak hope back into one another. That's what we're here for, you know. We all need one another. No man is an island. We need one another. We need to walk together with folk, and we need folk to be speaking into us. Chapter 15 of Corinthians is commonly called the resurrection chapter. It's an amazing chapter, absolutely amazing. Verse 35 starts off talking about how are the dead raised up. See, this is. I want to talk a little bit about what our hope is really rooted and grounded in. What are the dead? How are the dead raised up? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. What you sow, you don't give it a body that shall be, but mere grain. It's like he says, when you put a seed in the ground, you don't really know it's a tomato seed until it grows up. Many people have put seeds in the ground thinking they're going to get one thing and something else grows up. You know? But when Jesus puts a seed in our heart, you can guarantee, rest assured, 100%, that the seed of Christ is going to turn into the character and nature of Christ. And when this body dies, I shall be like Him, for I shall see Him as He is. So when we're born again, when we have that experience of meeting Jesus and He touches our spirit, we receive life and our spirit is transformed, heart is renewed, we're touched. Then He comes into our soul, our feelings, our emotions, our all that, and then He begins to change that and transform that by His word. But He's got plans for your body as well. I want you to know that. Now, don't worry, you're not going to have this body for the rest of your life, because it's going to die and it's going to be transformed, the Bible says, into a heavenly body, a beautiful body. We have a body for heaven. We have a body for earth. We have a body for heaven. I am so looking forward to my heavenly body. So looking forward to it. Absolutely. Absolutely. Amen, Dave. No more of that blimmin' pacemaker giving dicky stuff and all that. Just... beautiful. No more darkness, no more sin, no more crying, no more being tired, no more feeling old, no more being angry, no more being jealous, no more being this, no more being that. Just Jesus. Bring it on. Oh, it sounds like a fairy tale. It's more than a fairy tale. It's a God tale. Hallelujah. Keep your fairies. I'm taking the Holy Spirit. Fairies are not allowed. Can we carry on? I just want to share a couple of things here. The verse chapter 15, I suggest you read it, guys. If you want to get hope, we have to read stuff that brings hope. I'm a news file. That means I read every day. I read like at least 5 newspapers, and I'm always into YouTube at night, and Angie's growling at me, turn it off and watch Heartland or something, will you? I want to know what's happening in the world. I'm concerned. I love people. I can sense God's love for nations and peoples. And I get concerned when I see what's happening with different things. And when I see the evil that's happening here and the evil there, I need something else more than what the world can give. I mean, if you put your hope in Biden or Kamala Harris or any other leader of the world, you're going to be hopelessly disappointed. Absolutely hopelessly disappointed. It's only Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ. So it talks about here, there are one glory, verse 40, one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. Each one differs in glory. Verse 42, so is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it's raised in incorruption. It's sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, it's raised in power. It's sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body. There is a spiritual body. It's got your name on it. Hallelujah. Amen. The first man, Adam, became a living spirit. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. That the spiritual is first, not the spiritual, but the natural afterwards is spiritual. That's just, as the first, verse 48, as the man of the dust, so also those are made of dust. That's what we are now. But as the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. As we have borne the image of Adam, the man of dust, so we shall also bear the image of Jesus, who is the heavenly man. Hallelujah. See, that's our hope. That's why we believe in Christianity. That's why we follow Jesus. That's why we come to church. That's why we read our Bible. That's why we foster and develop relationship with those of like mind and heart. Because we want to be like Jesus. If I can't be like Jesus, you might as well go and be a Buddhist or a Muslim or something else. Go and follow somebody that's already dead. But Jesus is alive. He says, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. The very first word that God spoke concerning man. And when he spoke that, he saw you and he saw I being formed and fashioned in his image and his likeness. Then he saw that explosion of light as we leave this world and leave this body and end up in our new heavenly body that he's given to us. An explosion of light and glory and a celebration in the heavens. Yes, another one. Hallelujah. I'm serious. Don't be frightened of death, Christians. When a Christian dies, yeah, it's sad, it breaks your heart. But it's absolutely awesome and amazing to those that live in the spirit realm. To those that surround us, a great cloud of witnesses that cannot be numbered. Those that before the throne of God singing, holy, 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 eternally. That there's a realm that of reality that this natural body can't see. But hope connects us to that. Hope lifts us up past what we see here. We lift up our eyes and we look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And as we look at Jesus, then his hope bursts forth within us and it keeps us, anchors us to the rock. Hallelujah. I will not be shaken. I will not be shaken. Hallelujah. There's a whole lot of scriptures, man, we could read about. Romans says we access faith into grace. And then we rejoice in the hope of glory. First chapter 8 says we're saved in hope. Chapter 15 talks about the Bible, the scriptures give us hope. Verse 13 of chapter 15 says he is the God of hope. That's his name. He's the God of hope. Hallelujah. Ephesians, Paul's prayer is that verse chapter 1, he talks about, I pray that your eyes of understanding will be open so that you can understand. We can understand the hope. Chapter 2, he talks about when we were not saved, we were without hope. The first thing that happens when you get saved is you get a shot of it. You get a COVID vaccination on steroids, man. You get a hope injection. Hope, you know. We don't need vaccines to stay alive. I am alive. And even if I die, I'm alive. For me to die is gain. Hallelujah. But I'm going to get a jab because Deepak says I have to. Ephesians chapter 4 says, Jesus chapter 4, there's like seven kind of non-negotiables that Paul puts down really what a church looks like. One Lord, one faith, one hope, one Father, one whatever, one Spirit. And he mentions in there one hope. Hope is in the list. One hope. Colossians talks about the mystery of God, which is the hope of glory for Christians. We have a hope of glory. I have a hope in my bones that I'm going to shine like the sun. Yeah? I'm going to shine. I know I'm going to shine. Jesus shone. And Moses went up the mountain and got the law, for crying out loud. He'd come back, his face was shining. That's under the law, which brings death. How much more when the grace of God is fully realized in us? They looked at Moses and said, Moses, cover your face, put the tea towel over your head, man. We can't bear looking at the glory. It's a taste of that which Jesus has for us. We are made to be beings of glory. And finally, in Hebrews chapter 7, it says the new covenant is a better hope. It's a better hope. God has given us hope, brothers and sisters. There's a hope that keeps us. There's a hope that builds and fosters a song in the night. There's a hope that just lets us know you're okay. I don't know what you're going through. We've got 100-odd people here, 120, whatever it is. In amongst us, we're all at different places. Some of us come here happy. Some have come sad. Some are fighting with things. Some are looking for things. Friends, this portion of hope is available to each one of us. It's yours. Jesus wants to be your hope. The hope of the gospel. You see, gospel is a word that means good news. The gospel is good news. It brings hope to us. So I would really like to just spend some time. If you are here, there's folk that I don't know. I don't know where you are, but let's not waste opportunities to let God do something in our life. If you're here this morning, it's because the magnet of love has drawn you. And the magnet of love draws us because he wants to put hope and faith and love within us. Three things necessary for life. Faith, hope, and love. Friend, you need Jesus. There's no hope to be found in the world. Jacinda can't save you. No politician can save you. No teaching, no qualification, no degree, no understanding of worldly things can save you. Nothing can meet that need you have in your heart to be one with God. See, we're looking for something. We're looking. We turn to people sometimes hoping to find it in a relationship with another person. If only I can find the perfect man, I will be happy. Yeah. Or if I can just get the good job, if I can just have this house or this. Friends, it's heart filled with Jesus equals hope, love, peace, and fulfillment. So I want to do something really old-fashioned for some of you, but new for some of you as well. Can we just bow our heads? And I want to ask, I want to give you opportunities. I could come and see you, but it's easier if I can ask you to come and see me. But while our heads are bowed, if you're here this morning, and you're just the love, something's touched your heart. I know it's love. Maybe you don't know what it is, but you're drawn to it. There's a warmth. There's something here. There's something that you're like. You've never made a decision for Jesus Christ before. You've never made a decision to say, "Yeah, I want to follow this man. I want to ask this man to come into my life and change me." I'd like to give you an opportunity to do that. And it starts. If you can just let me know. If you can just lift your hand wherever you are and say, "Kerry, I'd love you to pray for me. I'd love you just to introduce me to Jesus. I'd love you to." Just tell me more. Help him to come into my heart. Is anyone here this morning? Don't be shy. I'm going to ask one more time. No one? Okay, guys, can we stand, please? And then I just want to pray. I want to pray. Can we keep our hearts and our minds focused on the one who is worthy, holy, holy, holy? His name is Jesus. Each one of us, we are standing here in our uniqueness, That's why God loves us individually so much, because each one of us is so unique and so different from every other part of creation. We all have that mark of Jesus, that mark of God that separates us. And it's an expression of his love and character in each one of us. Father, I pray, Lord, for a revelation of the glory that is before us. Lord, that when we awake, we shall be in your likeness, for we shall see you as you are. Father, I pray for a vision of that spiritual heaven, Lord God. Lord, a vision of our part, our place in that, that we are accepted in the Beloved. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your blood that shed on the cross that paid for my sin. And I thank you for the promise of the new covenant that says you remember my sin and my wicked ways no more. Lord, it's a new creation right here as we stand, Lord, called by your name. We are holy, we are clean, we are pure, we are righteous. Hallelujah. Sin is not a part of our lives anymore. It has been dealt with and buried in the waters of baptism. We have been washed clean and we've come in resurrection life. We have your resurrection life in our heart right now. Father, I pray, Lord, for an infusion of hope. Hallelujah. We stand as children of God. Lord, we're in the mountain. We're part of Mount Zion that's filling the earth with your glory. We carry your glory, Lord. We are rocks on the rock. Lord, we shall not be moved, but our song will be heard. Father, I thank you, Lord, for an ability, Lord, of this house, this family, to share hope and love and grace with others, Lord. Flow forth from us, Lord Jesus, into the lives of others. Lord, we want to see your love and your hope spread abroad. The name of Jesus lifted high. We breathe you in, Lord. 2,000 years ago, Jesus, you said, receive the Holy Spirit. And you blew, Lord. Jesus, we receive. We breathe you in your precious name. We breathe you in. Hallelujah. Healing. Spirit power. Hallelujah. Joy. Strength. And love for one another. Hallelujah. Mighty God. Mighty God. Mighty God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What do you want to do, you guys? Guys. Yeah, we can kind of call it quits now, but if you want prayer, I'd love to pray for you. Anybody that wants to come, you're just finding it hard, you're like at the bottom of the barrel, come and give you a hug, lay hands on you, speak into you, speak life into you. We'd love to do that. Just come right now. Those of you that are happy, just ask you to just talk quietly, don't laugh too loudly. But can I close the meeting? Father, we thank you for this house. We go through those doors, Lord, taking your precious word and your hope into the world. We thank you for the privilege and the honor of doing that. And everybody said, amen. So guys, if you want some prayer this morning, please just come up the front and we'll just work our way around. God bless you.